Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series. Expect results from prayer. You are studying Lesson 1. Even you can get answers to prayer. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it. Let's go right into the Bible. Last week, we began a study on the subject of prayer. We're going to continue this. I'm not going to just hit the high spots on the subject of prayer. The Lord's been very specific with me about it, to take the time. I don't care how long it takes. Praise God. If Jesus comes right in the middle of it, oh, wouldn't that be good? Glory to God. I mean, just shuck right on out of here, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, well, all right. But until He does, we're going to learn how to pray. And we're going to learn how to believe God. And we're going to learn how to receive from God what He's already given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, these absolute statements must become an integral part of your thinking all the time. Every time you think about prayer, this is something that you need to know. There's a difference between, you know, just finding out something and knowing it. I mean having a knowing of it where it becomes a part of your consciousness. Now that is, number one, prayer is not trying to get God's attention about something. In the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 12th through the 16th verses, the Bible tells us that we have a high priest who's passed into the heavens, that's easily touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and that there is no creature that's not made manifest in His sight. And then it says, because of that, you come boldly to the throne of grace to do what? Hope to get? No. To obtain. And it is the our prayer place is the throne of grace, not the throne of earning, not the throne of not the throne of I've just been so good, you owe me something. No. You know better than that, and so do I. But our thinking drifts off into these areas a lot of times. And there's times I catch myself, as long as I've been studying this, man, I mean, I've been on this subject of prayer now for 24 years. I'm talking about from the moment that I'm making this tape, at least 24 years, I've been in and studying the subject of prayer. And I still catch myself at these kind of thoughts. Oh, you know, I guess God's just not hearing me in this. It's probably because, you know, I haven't fasted enough recently. No, come on, Kenneth. You quit that. You get right back down here. It's because you're not believing God. It's because you're not believing what He's already said in His Word. Now, you get tuned into Him. You need to fast. He'll lead you to fast. If there's times that you want to fast, then go ahead and fast. But God's not going to hear you because you do or because you don't. He hears you because you believe what He's already said and you pray in the name of Jesus. Well, I know just as soon as I get out of the penitentiary, He's going to hear me pray. No, He'll hear you pray while you're in there. Thank God. Isn't that the living truth? Man, I'll tell you, you know something? I must share this with you right now before we go any further, because it was on my heart this morning as I prayed. It's been working around inside of me that I'm talking to somebody right now. You're incarcerated in the penitentiary. You are praying. You're expecting God to get you out of there, and God's working on it. But the thing that I wanted to mention to a lot of you this morning if your prayer life and your serving God is just to get you out of the penitentiary, you won't stay out when you get out. Some of you hadn't got no business getting out yet. Ah, don't you turn that thing off. You leave it right where it is, hoss. I'm talking to you now. Now listen to me. Some of you need to stay right where you are for a while longer and study the Word. Develop an attitude of absolute honesty to God and absolute honesty with yourself. You start there and the rest of it will take care of itself. You need to stay right where you are for a little while. I know it's tough, dear God. There ain't nothing easy anywhere. But where you are is one of the toughest spots there is. Unless you let the Spirit of God get a hold of your thinking and realize that you need to stay right where you are for a few more days while somebody's feeding you and somebody's paying the bills, somebody's paying the rent, while you study the Word of God. Because my brother and sister, when you get outside, you know what's going to happen. You get back out on the bricks. You're going to have to buy your own meals. You're going to have to find your own place to stay. And here's going to come all that bunch that got you into that mess in the first place. Amen. So you got some tough sledding when you get out. To stay hooked to God instead of them winning you to sin, win them to Jesus. Amen. So I'm talking to some of you that need to be right there where you are. Some of you are ready to go. And God needs you and God will use you. Some of you God's wanting to use right there where you are. Now originally the word penitentiary came from, I'm talking about hundreds of years ago, there were some people that were dedicated to God that instead of throwing criminals and so forth, throwing them away and throwing them in dungeons, they created what was called the penitentiary. And it comes from the word penitent, for someone to be repentant of their sins and someone to have time to study the Word of God and to get before God and allow God to deliver you from the situation that caused you to be arrested in the first place. Now somebody might say, yeah, but I'm telling you, I'm totally innocent. Well, if you are, God knows that. If you're lying, He knows that. So that is not the point here. That's not what is important right here. What's important is for you to learn how to walk in the Spirit of God and rise up in prayer and in faith. You've got time to become an absolute Bible expert, a Bible scholar on the subject of prayer and faith and the power of God and ministering to other people in adverse situations. You get out of there, God can use you. Praise the Lord. I know one fella that he had asked God, he said, Lord, I need an education. He'd been praying, asking God about, you know, about his release and so forth. And all of a sudden, they come talking to him about parole. He wasn't even up for parole. And it's obvious God was moving. And so this is a man that had learned how to pray. He's not just, you know, just, oh, God, get me out. Oh, God. No. And writing letters to people trying to get them to do something. No, he'd learned to rest in the Lord and he's studying the Word. And he got to praying about it and he said, Lord, you know, I don't have any business getting out of here yet. I'm not ready to face all that yet. And I need some more study time. I need some education. I don't have any education. And there's some things that I need here. He said, Lord, would you take care of this for me? And by knowing how, he just rolled the care of it over on the Lord and just went about praising God and witnessed wherever he got the chance. Oh, but brother, you don't know how the persecution is in here. Yes, I do. Oh, yeah, you ain't ever going to get away from that. Now, I'll grant you, you're going to come to a place where you're not going to have be in such a concentrated area of it. Yet you might. But I'll tell you this, when the Son of God has set you free, you're free indeed. I don't care what your surroundings are. Now then, he just rolled a care of that over on God and carried through in faith, in praise. All of these are part of prayer, see. They called him back down to interview him and they said, you know, we feel like that you're probably ready for parole. But at the same time, this officer that was talking to him said, you know, I don't know. He said, I don't even know why I'm saying this. Don't that tickle you when they say that? I don't even know why I'm saying this. He said, but there's some classes over here at Texas A&M. This is in the Texas Department of Corrections. And this particular facility was just a little ways from there. He said, there's some classes over there, you know, where we send certain inmates. He said, seems to me like maybe you ought to go over there and take some classes over there before you go home. He said, you know, I believe you're right. I think I'll take you up on it. Oh, yeah. And they sent him to school. Sent him to school over there for a while, and he was just doing fine. And the Lord spoke to him one morning, and just down in his spirit, all of a sudden, he just knew. He just knew that he knew that he knew. You better get your stuff ready. Praise God. And he got all his stuff ready, brother. And it wasn't but a little bit to come down. I said, hey, boy, get your stuff ready. He said, I got her ready now. Praise God. Out he went. And the last I heard from him, he's preaching the gospel. Praise God, and doing an excellent job. Amen. Now then, I really needed to say that. There are some people watching this broadcast and so forth that needed to hear that. Now, that doesn't apply only to people that are in prison or prisoners somewhere. There's all kinds of prisons. You know that as well as I do. There's some of you guys in business that have the idea, oh, if I could just move way out to the West Coast, oh, I know I could make it out that. No, you wouldn't. You're going to take your ugly self with you. You need to find out. You need to learn how to pray right where you are. You need to begin right where you are. There's not anything going to change until you do. There are people that have more money. I'm telling you, more money than you and I got time to count. And they're absolutely torn apart and ravaged in their lives. If you want to see somebody in bad shape, it's a guy that doesn't know Jesus, was having a hard time to start with, and then he gets a bunch of money. Now, when you get a bunch of money, it looks like when you ain't got any money, it looks like, boy, whoo, I mean, you know, if I had the kind of bread that guy's got, there ain't no way in the world I'd have any trouble. Yeah, you would, because when you get the money, you get all the flies that come with the honey. I tell you for sure, brother. Let me tell you now. There is no place, there is nobody. I don't care how high up socially they are. I don't care how low down socially they are. Or anywhere in between. There's nobody that is immune because of their money, because of their position, because of their lack of it, because of their poverty. I don't care what it is. There's nobody that is immune to the pressures of this life. And I don't care what your situation is. Satan's trying to kill you. He's trying to blow your brains out. Little kids that should have no problems at all are committing suicide. Ain't nobody exempt except the man or the woman that has Jesus as Lord, has begun to see Him in the Word, and have begun to set this Word as the standard of his life. And I don't care whether it's money or a lack of it, social position or a lack of it, no home, no what. I don't care what it is. I want you to know the man that knows how to pray is a wealthy, rich man going somewhere to happen. I'm telling you, he's the only man there is that has the peace that passes understanding and can walk in this kind of life. Now then, let's get back to where we left off Friday. All last week, we talked about the fact that we have the right to believe. Jesus said in Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. In the Gospel of Mark, it's worded a little bit different, same statement, Mark 11, 24. Therefore, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. So it's obvious where the hook is on that. God's not trying to keep things from us, okay? Now, that brings up this second statement that I wanted to read to you. Number one was prayer is not trying to get God's attention. Number two, prayer is not trying to get God to do something. Prayer is communication with God, receiving what He has already given us in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. He is a Savior. Listen to that. Don't throw that saved and Savior word around just because it's a religious word and we use it so much in Christianity. It has a deep, grand, hallelujah meaning to it. He is our Savior. What do you need to be saved from? Then He's the Savior, praise God. And your deliverance from that is in Him already, and He's made Himself available to you. Now, how do you believe God then? It's not right for God to promise things like that and then say, I'm not going to let you get this because you're not good enough. Well, how are you ever going to be good enough, brother? It was because of sin, sickness, demons, fear, unrighteousness, unholiness, diabolical union with the devil in the Garden of Eden that brought all this hell down here on us. Wasn't God. So what's the deal? If He just wanted you to stay that way, there wasn't no use in Jesus going to the cross. Amen. The reason Jesus came is to set you free from all that. So, now, how do you believe God? We have a right to believe. We have a right to expect results when we pray. All things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. What is that believing then? Actually, when you deal with this and you realize that you have the right to believe, then believing is in itself is real simple. Somebody might come along and say, Kenneth Copeland, I believe Kenneth Copeland's going to pay the rent on my house. Hey, you better find out if I said I'd pay the rent on your house before you go obligating yourself for some rent. Amen. Now, if I said I'd pay the rent on your house, being as I'm an honest man, I'll pay it if I have the money and the resources to do it. Now, see, there's some ifs about it, if I say it. So, if I said it and I have the resources to do it, and I give you the authority to rent that place in my name, then I'm obligated for it. You don't have any trouble believing that if you know I'm honest and you know I have the resources to do it. What is that? Well, that's faith in me as a man. That's faith in my word. Faith that your rent's going to be paid. I mean, that wouldn't be any hard thing to do. Call me on the telephone and say, hey, Brother Copeland, I found the place I'm going to rent. What would be my answer to that? Well, now, have you fasted all last week? No. All I could possibly say, if I'd already said it, all I could possibly say was, go get her, brother. Go after it. Amen? Certainly, if I'm honest, if I have the resources, and if I've already promised it. Now then, believing God is finding out what He has already made covenant to do. That's what this is called, the new covenant. It is in the blood of Jesus that God swore. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, says He did. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall have a Savior. The Bible said we are delivered from the authority of darkness, from the authority of the devil, and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So, believing God is finding out what He's already promised, knowing that God cannot lie, and knowing that He has the resources to do it. Now, He has already promised, He has already sent the power, the Spirit of the living God is in the earth. He's in you if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And if you'll ask Him, Jesus will baptize you in His Spirit and cover you with the power of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. So God has promised, He has the resources, and in Jesus' name, you have the right to expect the results. Amen. So what happens when you pray in Jesus' name? Well, is He going to do it? Come on, God. You're going to do it? No, that's not faith. After you've prayed in Jesus' name, from that point on, it's not a struggle, it's a praise. It may look like hadn't anything changed. It's going to have to change in the spirit realm before it changes in the physical realm. The spirit realm changes instantly under the power of the name of Jesus, under the power of the Word of God. Now, I expect this physical world, the circumstantial world, to change. There are certain things involved. There are, first place, there's people involved. You're not going to pray against the will of another person. Oh, God, you make that. Nope. Now, you're out of line when you're praying that. You're out of line when you pray crosswise of the will of another human being. God won't cross their will, and you're not going to cross their will. You turn it over to God, and He'll handle it. All right? Now, you just get to praying for your enemies. Say, oh, Lord, you know I pray for them in the name of Jesus. I hold them up to you. But I also claim Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me will be condemned for my sake, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's my heritage. I inherited that from Jesus. I pray that. I believe for that. I lay hold and lay claim to that every day of my life. And I pray for you, whoever you are. And I thank God for you, whoever you are. Now that I'm claiming that, though, if you run up on that, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, then you're going to run up against the power of the Word of God, even though I'm not swinging that power at you. I'm just standing on it, and I'm standing in a place of safety. You understand what I'm saying here? All right, well, we're out of time for today. I'll tell you, let's pray right now. If I was there, I'd catch hands with you like this. Wherever you are, you just believe God with me right now. Father, I pray for this television audience in the mighty name of Jesus. Therefore, I know you hear me when I pray, and therefore I expect the results. I pray that they be made whole, spirit and soul and body, financially, socially, all of their circumstances and everything, in the name of Jesus, be made whole. Now, Satan, you take your hands off of God's property in Jesus' name.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.